Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
You want to be down with the kids?
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with RJ here for you for the next 3 hours on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. How'd you sleep? Good?
Why?
Because I've slept terrible.
I slept okay. I feel incredibly tired today, but I did get to sleep at around probably about 10:40, which is pretty good for me.
I had one of my worst. I was up at 2:30 for about two hours.
That's the worst.
The worst.
You can't get back to sleep.
But I did a lot of work. I got a lot of stuff. Actually, there's a...
You don't try to go back to sleep?
I did, but you gotta
get
do
yourself,
something
yeah.
to make yourself tired.
Yeah.
So...
I've come up here and started working on draft stuff before at like 4 in the morning when I couldn't get back to sleep or 3 in the morning. And I just stayed the whole time. That wasn't optimal.
No.
It's not optimal.
That's the worst. Yeah, What's wrong with you?
It's not great.
I
couldn't get sleep and I'm like, well, I might as well go get stuff done.
No. Oh, my gosh. Don't ever do that again. That's the worst. We are here for you at 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Yeah, I was going over this. I mean... By the way, do you have any idea who the best teams to bet on and who are the worst teams to bet on this football season?
Well, what do you mean?
Who's best against the spread?
In the NFL?
And worst, yeah, in the NFL. Best and worst against the spread.
I think one of the worst is probably the Saints.
I'm
just going off of memory here.
New Orleans Saints, 4-8 against the spread.
Yeah, Saints are pretty bad. Eagles are good.
Eagles are not in the top eight. I have the top eight and the bottom five.
They're not eight.
They're not in the top eight.
Don't tell me Texans are in the top eight.
Texans are not anywhere close to there.
All right, so I think it's going to be Dolphins are pretty good.
The Dolphins are not in there in either. Here's the worst team against the spread this year, and it's because
Tampa Bay or the Rams.
The Rams,
yeah.
The Rams,
yeah.
The Rams,
Rams
are the worst.
Suck.
And Denver is second worst.
Yeah. Expectation
but
teams.
If you want an under,
Rams would give it to you.
10-1 Broncos. Denver Broncos. They can't score.
Can't score. Defensive players are now yelling. Defensive players now yelling at Russell Wilson. What a disaster that is going to be now with that long term deal.
So that was a pretty good question. Worst quarterback situation going forward: the Packers or the Broncos?
Broncos by a million miles. Aaron Rodgers is just not having a good year. He's won back-to-back MVPs.
Well, at least you have a first-rounder in the background, too.
He had a similar year the year before he won his two MVPs. That's why they drafted Jordan Love. People forget that, too. Christian Watson has more touchdowns than Justin Jefferson. Let that sink in.
Yeah.
Six to five.
Well, he's gotten all six in the last 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
He's been crazy lately.
Maybe tells you a little something. And then Jordan Love... You know, I don't think Jordan Love's going to end up being a starter, but he came in very briefly and made a couple plays last week, which was nice to see. So the Broncos are stuck with Russell Wilson contractually.
Yeah.
They have no hope.
And he's poor.
He's bad.
Well, I don't think Hackett makes it through this. That's the problem.
No,
you know
he'll
what?
Be
and it could well be he's in a bad situation, but he's just not making passes.
I think Hackett, unfortunately, he got his – potentially his one shot, and he got tied to a quarterback who's just washed. I mean, Russell's bad. I don't know any other way to say it.
This is almost exactly what happened to McDaniels there.
Yeah. I mean, he had Tebow. That was his choice.
Yeah. Well, but 1 year, beat it. You're out.
Mm-hmm.
It's so bad.
Of his was personality driven. Hackett is so bad. They had to bring in a second. I mean, they had to bring in a second coach for clock management. And then it's been bad. And now he's got a different play caller. He's got Clint Kubiak calling the plays. Yeah. Clint's like, I can't do anything with this. They don't have Javonte Williams. They've cut now Melvin Gordon, which I don't think that really mattered. You've had Jerry Jeudy get hurt. You lost Noah Fant in the trade for Russell Wilson. I would think Seattle is one of the winners on the point spread mark.
Against the spread?
Yeah.
Best teams against the spread. The Bengals, 8-3. The Giants, 8-3.
Yeah.
The Titans, 8-3.
Huh. What about Jets?
The Jets are 7-4. The Cowboys are 7-4.
Seattle's
the Lions
be up
are
there.
7-4. The Chargers are 7-4.
The Chargers?
The Chargers and the Washington Commanders are 7-4.
Oh,
and
the Raiders have to be on the bad
the
list.
The Raiders are not in this list. The worst teams against the spread, the Rams, the Broncos, the Bucks, the Saints, and the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
All teams expected to be
playoff
good teams.
Yeah.
Expected to be
good. Well, that's
good
how it usually works. Expected, yeah. you fall well below expectations. And then the other ones, like you mentioned, I would argue the Bengals. The Bengals, for some reason, people just didn't buy into the Bengals. And the Bengals, their win total for the season was 9.5. And I thought, you know, it looks like a real Super Bowl run that they had. It looks like it's sustainable. I was surprised it was that relatively low. They had to get to 10 wins, 10-6. But
10-7.
Or 10-7. I thought, that's not the hardest thing in the world. And then you have, you know, obviously the Jets.
They started poorly, though, and they've been on a run.
Yeah, they've been on a run.
They've been on a great
run. It was a good
run.
Win for them last week. The Giants, the Jets. And it helps that the Ravens are, you know, the Ravens are the Ravens are a disappointing team to me.
Yeah.
The Ravens they've blown leads 4 different times. It's just Lamar plays poorly in the fourth, but it's really not like it's really defensively is the bigger issue, because they get out to leads and they get out to double digit leads. And then Lamar's made some turnover issues. He's had some turnover issues. It's been Jim Harbaugh just deciding to be reckless on fourth down every time. He's just become John Harbaugh, Mr. Analytics, where he's just going to go for everything and it puts him in a bad spot. And then their defense doesn't play well, but
the Giants
obviously should be up there because you didn't expect that from them.
No. If you exceed expectations, all of these teams really have exceeded expectations.
Except the Chargers, probably.
The Cowboys are always thought to be. But Tennessee always, nobody ever believes in Tennessee, and they're always up there. I mean, like you said, nobody believed in the Bengals for whatever reason. After their start, I think their point spread started to come down. And then they started to play well, so they started beating the point spread. And the Commanders have covered 5 of the last 6 games.
Yeah.
The Commanders have come on really well.
Now their defense is playing like their defense. Chase Young still hasn't gotten back. We'll see if he comes back this week. But they've got a couple different running backs now. They got Brian Robinson back. They got rid of the spotty play from – it's not like Tyler Heinicke's a great quarterback, but – you know, this is the thing with the Texans. Taylor, I'll try to bring it back to the Texans. Tyler Heinicke.
Say, but
no one cares. But this is the thing that matters for the Texans. If you have a good defense, can run the ball, you don't have to have a quarterback that's a great quarterback. The fans would like one. Everyone would like one who can make a bunch of plays, but you can win a bunch of games. Matt Schaub showed that. The Texans were a good football team with a very average quarterback who just kept the train running on time. That's all he did.
Yeah.
And then when you needed him to make plays when you got behind, you didn't have that. I mean, you knew what you were missing. But you can be a good football team without a playmaker. You can have a snap taker as long as you have defense and running game.
Yep.
But the Texans, you know, they're trying to build running game through offensive line. They got Damian Pierce. They've tried to build defense. They just plugged in a safety and a corner.
And a linebacker.
And a linebacker. I mean, they're trying to do it the right way. It's just... we just don't see results for 3 years.
No, well, they got to bolster both lines. They just have to. That defensive line is so
bad.
Yeah,
you got to keep Nick, going until you get
listen,
it.
Listen, we're all talking about Deshaun Watson this Sunday. Nick Chubb is just going to run all over him. If I'm the Browns, if I'm Stefanski, I am going to just run the ball down their throats. Deshaun will pass every once in a while. If Deshaun has 20 attempts, I'd be surprised.
Yeah, there's really no need.
There's no need. You just run the ball down their throats. They're really, really piss poor. I mean, it can't be any worse.
Kareem Hunt, and don't forget Kareem Hunt, too. Right. There's a good chance Kareem Hunt goes for over 55 yards and a touchdown.
Will they run for 200 yards between the two of them?
Three of them.
And Deshaun, right.
That's a great prop. I'll say yes.
Yeah, I think they'll go for two.
That's a ton, but I would say yes.
Chubb will go for 120. Chubb will go for 120 himself. And then Deshaun will break away, and everybody will scream at him. This brings up an interesting point here, and there's a great tweet last night.
But who do you think is the leading rusher per game NFL team?
Henry?
No, team.
Oh, team.
You're not going to get
the Bears?
You are going to get it. Chicago Bears.
The way that Justin Fields has run.
192 a game.
Yeah.
So you're asking them to... The Texans have given up over 200 in a game already once. At least once that I know of. I mean, Josh Jacobs hit him pretty good, too. But...
Oh, yeah. Well, the Bears ran all over them. Everybody ran
all
over them.
No, the Bears gave 267 or something like that?
No, 280. The biggest output since the 80s.
Yeah.
They had their 280 yards.
It's 287?
Yeah, 284, whatever it was.
The Browns right now are fifth in the league, averaging 154, and now they're going to, and that number should go up against the Texans, who have got to be one of the worst, and now you're adding Deshaun Watson's legs. Yeah, it goes, take a look at this. Cleveland Browns, that's without mobile quarterback, but they'll have one now. Atlanta, mobile quarterback, is fourth. Atlanta, that's surprising to me. Philadelphia Eagles, mobile quarterback. Baltimore Ravens, mobile quarterback. Chicago Bears, mobile quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just becoming, you know, if you want to be able to, now, Bears aren't a good team. Ravens are just kind of an average to above average team. Eagles, good team. Falcons, scrappy team. Browns, we'll see what they are now. Giants, Danny Dimes is right below it, and Dak Prescott, Buffalo Bills. I mean, these are all Jacksonville Jaguars. These all have quarterbacks who can move.
Nope.
Davis Mills can't move. Not really. Not like this.
Well, but it's not like you run the ball and you win automatically.
I mentioned some names of teams, although a lot of these are pretty good teams. But, I mean, Jaguars don't have a bunch of wins. Cleveland don't have a bunch of – well, they
don't have,
Bears don't
have a bunch of wins.
I shouldn't count Cleveland because they haven't had a mobile quarterback up to this point. Bears don't have a bunch of wins, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, just because you can run the ball doesn't mean you're going to win in the NFL. I'll ask you this question because this came out. The coach of the year so far.
Lovey.
I don't know if it's going to be Lovey per se. Okay.
Coach of the year up to this point for me is Nick Sirianni.
Sirianni?
Yeah.
I would say Robert Saleh.
Over, not Brian Daboll.
Daboll.
There's some good ones this year.
Daboll, Sirianni, McDaniels, Rivera, Andy Reid. Andy Reid just doesn't get any love.
Because of his talent, yeah.
Vrabel.
Mike McDaniel.
O'Connell.
Yeah.
And Pete Carroll.
It's time to tell the truth.
What about Pete Carroll?
It's time to tell the truth. Pete Carroll's done a really nice job. There's some good coaching jobs being done. I think the one that continues to stand out is Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel was here in Houston. People couldn't wait. They were ready for Mike Vrabel to be gone, to be put in prison for his defense. And the fact is, Mike Vrabel is an excellent coach. He's an excellent coach. I don't know about how he coordinated the defense. I don't know if it was the players he had on the field. I just know this. Mike Vrabel is one of the top three coaches in the NFL. I'm ready to say that. Mike Vrabel does it with the same... You know, milk and toast every single week. There's nothing that stands out about them. They have very quietly some excellent talent in like Jeffrey Simmons. Christian Fulton's turning into a better player than I expected at cornerback. But the Titans do what they're supposed to on offense. They're now doing what they're supposed to on defense. They know who they are. They don't get cute. It's like a ramped up version of Jeff Fisher, where Jeff Fisher, you knew with the Titans, Jeff Fisher's team was going to be the same kind of team every week. They weren't going to excite you. You weren't going to love watching them, but they were going to win at a pretty good level. Well, this team wins at a higher level than that, and they're a little bit better than that. And Jeff Fisher was an okay coach. You know, he was an above average. He got above average results, you know, but a lot of times it would start bordering closer to the 9-6 stuff, but or 9-7 stuff. But I just think Mike Vrabel – I think Mike Vrabel is a really good head coach.
Yeah, head coach. Yeah, as a coordinator, he wasn't great here. And he gets a job as usually you have to be a great coordinator to get that job. You're right. It's a CEO deal. When you're the head coach, you're the CEO.
And they got to really respect you. Like, you have to have the respect of the building, including the players.
Yep.
And he does. And he does. And now they're trying to start rumors that this is the craziest thing to me in the world, that Ryan Day could be out at Ohio State and Mike Vrabel in because they've lost two times in a row to Michigan, that Dave's got to go. How stupid is this? How stupid is college football? How entitled and enabled
are
fans?
Ohio State, really? They are the most entitled fans in the world.
They've got to be. You're calling for the demise of Ryan Day because you've lost 2 years in a row to Michigan?
They're the worst. Ohio State fan is the worst. They think they should win every game, and every game that they lose, they should have won. The refs or what? They're the worst. And you know what? Go ahead. Fire Ryan Day. Good for you. I think that's the right move.
It's about time.
Go ahead. Yeah, the guy's got
to fire Ryan Day and get to a two-back downhill running attack.
Yeah.
Go look like Harbaugh in Michigan is what you're going to look like.
All right. Chris Canty joining us at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk about the national perspective of what's going on here in Houston. See what the national perspective is on Deshaun and more. But right now I'm talking about Mark Klein at Klein's Fine Jewelers. If you're looking for the best way to take care of her holiday needs this year and do it inexpensively, I'm telling you, Mark is unbelievable, guys. I get all my jewelry from Mark. He's just the best. He has got pre-owned luxury watches there on the site for you or for her. Hey, tell her, go to that site, check out those watches. That's what I want for Christmas. Or you get her to show you what she would like, and Mark can build that. If she can show you a picture or she can describe something, if she's been hinting at something, let Mark do it. Don't go to one of these fancy schmancy jewelry stores and pay 10, 12, 50 times what you would pay a client's. I'm telling you, he can do it so much better and so much cheaper for you. He's been doing this forever. He's got two locations now, 5868 Westheimer and 5771 Woodway in Augusta and Westheimer in Fountain View. And I'm telling you, you're going to find the best jewelry you can this holiday season for her. Don't buy it anywhere else. Here's his cell, 832-316-1388, 832-316-1388. 1388 or go to KleinsJewelry.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!
Hey guys, if you have been injured or maybe you know somebody who was in a really bad car accident where somebody ran a red light, I saw one just 2 days ago that was terrible. I saw one on the HOV lane. We see accidents all the time. We drive by them. Sometimes we see them live. Sometimes they involve 18-wheelers. Sometimes the accident is at the workplace, you know, where something happened, refinery blast. I know John Daspit has handled a lot of those type of things near the ship channel. John Daspit and Daspit Law Firm, that's the company, okay? They are the biggest here in Houston. They're one of the biggest. They're the second biggest in the entire state in terms of total employees. He's got 10 cities he covers, 70 different lawyers working for him. Many of them have come from the top firms to work with John. John came from one of the top firms, most respected firms in Houston, because he wanted to start working for the city of Houston and for people who are here and who have been hurt and who have to try to be compensated for their injuries, but they're going against lawyers, you know, for the insurance companies. If you don't have a good lawyer, one who understands how it works, you are going to be in some trouble. And Daspit Law is going to do that for you. Let them work on getting you settlements. They get millions of dollars in settlements every single month, and they have a great success rate. 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or go to Daspit Law, DASPITLaw.com.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We have had, ever since we came on the air, which is over 25 years ago now, that ladies always go to the front of the line. If you are a female listening to the show, we respect that. We love that. We want you to participate as well. Much like you see today's
that's
game.
That's how I met my wife. She was a listener of the show. Now, she didn't call in. She would email about her hatred of the Aggies when she was, you know, she wasn't at Texas anymore. And I met her at a listener event. That's how I met my wife, was at a listener event. Had she called in, we would have let her into the front of the line.
So, I don't know if you saw today, there is going to be history made at the World Cup. Three women referees.
Mm-hmm.
Three women referees. I think it's the Germany game.
Yeah, can't believe they're actually trying to try this in Qatar. Qatar. That is a bold move.
It is a bold move. That is a bold move. And yet, Infantino continues to say we should go to North Korea. We should bring it to North Korea.
Wow. Can we go back to Russia?
Yeah. Let's get Susan in here. She's at the top of the list because she is.
I don't even know anything about this.
I think she's going to defend Ohio State.
I think she's going to.
Let's hear
because
it.
You are generalizing the Ohio State fan. You're generalizing the fan.
Ohio State is the worst fan base in the history of college football,
okay.
Period.
Let's find out.
Hi, Susan.
Hi. Okay. I am, like, the hugest fan of y'all's show. I listen to you out of Lake Charles. I could be from Beaumont to Lake Charles every day. And I love John. I talk about John all the time and his doing the
mistake,
the cool beer. Or Coors beer, I'm sorry. Can you tell I don't drink? Anyway, I'm an Ohio State fan, and I love you guys. And then I just had to almost put on my brakes when I heard you guys called Ohio State fans entitled. Oh, my gosh.
Listen.
Seriously.
Let her hear her grievances. I want to hear you defend. You know Ohio State fans, right? Because you... You all cling together, right?
Okay. You went to Ohio State.
To Ohio State, Susan?
Yes, I did.
You did. Can you tell? I mean, you've seen some awful things in the stands there. You have seen. You know your people, right? Can you tell me?
I know my people.
You know your people. Can you not tell me honestly that at some point you've been ashamed of your people and how they act?
I mean, okay. When I went to Ohio State, it's a party school, okay? But football team, I mean, they play hard, do they not?
Yes, they do.
We do have the biggest rivalry in college football against the Wolverines, okay?
Right.
We are bred from the time we're in grade school, blue blood, all right?
Right.
Not blue blood, the red blood.
Right.
So that rivalry extends into your adulthood. I wouldn't go as far as, okay, I feel entitled fans. I say the Dallas Cowboys. Okay?
Those
are the most obnoxious I've ever seen, but I wouldn't call OSU fans entitled.
Let me ask you this. Why is there even a discussion about Ryan Day out at Ohio State and Mike Vrabel headed there? Like, why should that even pop up just because you lose 2 years in a row to Michigan? I understand that that's your top rival.
Oh, yeah.
And people being ticked off, but that's not. That's no good.
That I absolutely agree with. I agree with y'all. I don't believe that that should be happening, you know?
No.
So I'm not in support of that.
Have you ever seen an Ohio State fan throw a full can of beer at a Penn State fan's head just because he was walking through? Well, your tailgate? Have you ever seen that?
That's very specific.
I did not see that.
You haven't seen that? Yeah.
Did you?
I have. I've seen the video.
Have you ever seen an LSU fan throw an entire empty bottle?
At the players. I've seen that.
Yes. Yeah, so
I've seen that.
Stop with your LSU fans.
No. LSU fans are
idiots. Ed Ogeron's got to go. That's pretty entitled stuff, too.
No.
He just won a national championship.
Ed O was just looking to get his groove on. That's all Ed wanted to do after he won a national championship.
Are you not an Ohio State fan? Is that what I'm taking?
I appreciate Ohio State football, the fan base. I'm sorry, Susan, other than you,
I have
worst.
Heard a lot of stories about aggressive Ohio State fans.
So in 2004, LSU played Ohio State in the national championship game. And we went to, and it was in New Orleans, and we went to the, what's it called?
French Quarter?
Your French Quarter. Yeah. We went to the quarter, and we were hanging out early in the week. Ohio State fan was there early. They were the biggest a-hole, Susan, ever. Ever. But when LSU invaded, when then the rest of the state came and over the weekend, and boy, I tell you what, Ohio State fans sure shut up when it was 10-1, LSU people. I can tell you that. Well, now,
everybody,
they couldn't have been bigger jerks before that, though, Susan. So this dates back for me a long time. How my vitriol toward Ohio State.
I can tell. I think you need to get some therapy about that. You know, just get it out of your system, you know?
You can't let that go. It's kind of like...
I'm not letting it go ever. Ever, Susan.
It's kind of like Montero. You can't let your Montero stuff go. You've got PTSD.
I know an LSU fan, too, and he just thinks that... it's just so...
LSU throws empty bottles at people, They want everyone fired all the time, too. They wanted Brian Kelly fired after a game.
One game.
What are you talking about in a title? Look at that.
No, they're the worst.
Everyone to suck that Tiger bleep every game.
I admit...
That's ugly talk, John.
I admit LSU fan base, the second worst. But nobody can be. Nobody.
Susan, I agree.
Countdown on the worst fan base right now?
Well, it's turning into that.
Yes, right.
I've heard Virginia Tech.
I'm going to have to post this online that I heard you guys say this, so you do know that, right?
Yeah.
By the way, that means you're going to get death threats now from Ohio State fans.
Great. Come bring it on. Which will be more ammunition why you're the worst fan
base. Well, Texas is pretty entitled fan base.
Oh, no, absolutely.
But, Virginia Tech, I heard, is a scary fan base, too. Dangerous. I've never been around them.
We're going to have to break it here. Thank you, Susan, for listening. Good call, we appreciate
Susan.
You. Great call.
Now you
call.
See. Now maybe you think a little less of John.
Yeah. Well, as well she should. If she was talking nice about me.
We needed to knock that down to reality.
If she was talking nice about me all these years, now, you know what? She got to get it straight. You get it right, Susan.
I think you show who you are every time. She knows your foibles.
Let's. When we come back, Chris Candy's going to join us on the other side right here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. He's a New York radio guy now, and he was, but he is a former player, obviously, and Super Bowl champion. We will talk right now, though, about Artisan Grange. My people over at Artisan Grange are so excited about Houston. They're so excited about how you guys have responded to this that they have redesigned their cans, their tins, with the state of Texas on it. I mean, this is a North Carolina company that is now in the state of Texas, and they've got their tins with the Texas State logo. It's awesome. What you have done, and you have really responded, has been just great. It is you get out of this nicotine habit, you get out of this tobacco habit. There is no tobacco. It's hemp in a hemp pouch with CBD oil. And it just can't be any better for you. I'm telling you, if you're looking for a great way, switch to hemp. Get out of the dip. Go to hemp. You've got wintergreen, dark fired. You've got mint, straight, citrus flavor, dark mint, ice mint. You've got a berry, and you've got the traditional tobacco flavor. But it's not tobacco, and it's not nicotine, and it's not going to hurt you like dipping does. So if you're looking for a great way to get out of it, do it now. Do it now. Go to 975dip.com. That's 975dip.com.
This is ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys. Time for me to tell you about Allstate Windows and Siding. Now's the time. I mean, now's a great time to get your windows done. Let me tell you why. Because when we're in the middle of the summer, you know, you want it done quick. When you have to take the windows out, it gets hot and humid and sticky in your home. With Allstate Windows and Siding, they get the installation done very professionally without a bunch of broken glass. They take your windows out. They will retrofit them to your frame. And let me tell you, the shape of your window frame can alter slightly because of the clay underneath the soil. You know, we have so much movement with our foundations. That's why your windows will begin to become leaky windows. You end up having to have foundation work, but you don't do window jobs on single pane old windows? Of course you do. You want to have double pane windows made right here in the state of Texas that are retrofit to what the measurements of your frame are right now. Even if they're slightly off, you could have window leakage, which is going to make your home colder or more humid, more dust in it. These are all factors that will lower the efficiency of your energy in your home. Why don't you make your house more energy efficient, quieter, safer, and look more beautiful with windows that are made right here in the state of Texas from Allstate Windows and Siding. AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com. You can call them today and get a huge discount for ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 listeners, but you have to tell them that you listen to Lance Zierlein to get that discount. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Go to allstatewindowsandsiding.com, 832-204-1936. That's allstatewindowsandsiding.com.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Chris Canty joining us now. We saw Chris when we were in New York. Lance and I, we went up to New York for
the
Astros.
ALCS.
And Chris came
That was just one of the times they were the Yankees daddies. That was one of the times.
One of the times.
They were the Yankees
daddies.
We owned
them, yeah.
Yeah, and Chris came up in studio. That was his his radio station where he works.
Yeah, right.
I think we got him to walk down the hall.
And former Super Bowl champ defensive lineman with us here on ESPN 97.5.
Former Cowboy.
Yeah, that's right.
And former Wahoo. Giant. Was Virginia D lineman. I watched him. Perfect build for a five technique. Joining us right now is Chris Canty. What's up, Chris?
What's up, John, Lance? How you guys doing?
We're doing all right. By the way, you guys, you are doing a great job on television, on the radio stuff, doing a very good job. Mike Golic is my guy, Mike Golic Jr. He's on the Joe Moore Award selection committee with me, so we talk all the time with those knuckleheads, and I thought when you guys were together, it was a really, really fun show. Like the show now, still, but I think you're doing a great job in the transition from the field up into the booth. Let's get into that for a second. More athletes than ever before are getting in there. There's a lot more competition for those jobs now. How much different is being in the media now than you thought whenever you were, you know, a player?
It's a lot different. My path was a little bit unconventional in the sense that I didn't jump right into a television gig. As a matter of fact, I got on working weekend radio in New York City with Anita Marks, who now does the Daily Wager show on ESPN. But that's how I started out. I didn't jump into, you know, the SEC Network or the ACC Network or doing NFL Live or any things like that. It was a very... very unconventional path, but I'm glad that I had the opportunity to start out with the radio medium, because between radio and linear, I think radio is by far the more difficult one. And if you can do a four-hour radio show, you can do a two-hour television show, because you have so many other elements that you can utilize. It's been a wild ride. I've been in the business 7 years, but it's been all good things. And the best part about it is I get to stay close to the game that I know and love.
Now, how much baseball will you talk, and how much are the Astros in all of your heads up there in New York?
Well, yeah, I try not to talk much Astros, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, since 2017, you guys have been like a thorn in our side. But right now, you know, all the Yankees fans are waiting with bated breath about what's going to happen with Aaron Judge. And we saw the contract offer that Brian Cashman started with, 8 years for $300 million. I think it's going to take a little bit more than $37.5 million a year to land Yale MVP, but we'll see what happens. But I'm a little bit concerned that there are other teams like the Giants, like the Dodgers, that are potentially interested in swooping in and getting Aaron Judge. But, yeah, not to digress, because I know you guys don't want to hear about the Yankees problems. I try not to talk about too much Houston Astros because I hate you guys.
Yeah, no, you should.
Well, you should.
You should. And
we're your daddy.
You know what, Chris? This is, as a Houston, longtime, lifelong Houston sports fan, I've been on the other end, mostly the other end of everything. It was always, and even more recently, it's like the Golden State Warriors, right? The Rockets and James Harden couldn't get past the Golden State Warriors. It is what it is. But everyone knows about the Patriots and the Warriors, for example. It is strange for Houston fans to have that kind of Golden State Warrior feel. And the Yankees are the team that just can't – they're like the James Harden Rockets that just can't find a way to get past – you know, it's like we're the Warriors for you guys, James Harden Rockets. It's a strange place to be in, but it's not a bad place.
No, it's a great
place.
It's
like you feel like you know what the Patriots fans felt like for years.
Yep.
Not now so much.
No. Chris, let's talk some football. What is nationally – what is the perception of Deshaun coming here this weekend? And this – I mean, it's got such little coverage – this game, as far as television eyes, is going to have the least of any team, any game that's going to be at noon. But what's the perception right now going forward with Deshaun here?
Well, I think everybody is looking at the game with a level of intrigue, a mild level of interest. I mean, you have to look at it from this perspective. You have a team that's won one game through week 12, and then you have another team where their starting quarterback hadn't played in over 700 days. So I think that's the part where it makes it hard to get really excited about it, but I can't help but think about the irony of Deshaun Watson making his return after nearly 2 years absence from the NFL against the team that he had to force his way out of. So if we're going to see a better version of Deshaun Watson than we saw in the preseason, I think this would be the specific matchup that would, you know, evoke that hyper level of focus and preparation from Deshaun going into this matchup.
It really is an interesting situation for Cleveland because, you know, I mean, you're not a playoff team. You want to win games. Nobody ever wants to lose. Forget the draft. It's already been proven. Draft standing doesn't mean anything. It's who evaluates the best. That's what makes the most difference in the NFL. Not NBA, but in the NFL. But I also think that, you know, Cleveland can't rush this situation. They've got a great tandem of running backs. The balance of getting Deshaun worked into the offense versus trying to give him chances to succeed, I think that's going to be interesting to see how Kevin Stefanski calls plays.
Yeah, I think we know what to expect from a scheme standpoint. It's going to be a lot of the run game and then play action off of that with boots and sprint, getting Deshaun Watson on the perimeter. That is the Stefanski offense. So I don't have as much mystery on that front as some other people might have. I'm just curious to see what it all looks like when you put it together, because I don't know that we've seen a quarterback of Deshaun's talent, his movement skills, his arm talent, married with what has been the best run game in the National Football League over the last 3 years. So putting all of that together, I'm excited to see what the outcome is going to be, because I think it's probably going to be one of the tougher offenses to stop when you recognize all of the different threats that they can pose to an opposing defense.
Yep, and it starts right here in the city of Houston. You're up there in New York. Lance and I just went over about nine coaches that we think could be coach of the year. He thinks Sirianni right now. I think it should be Saleh. And Daboll should be in there too. Who you got right now as your best coach in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue against what Nick Sirianni has done with his team and the strides that Jalen Hurts has made. And you think back to the middle of last year when the Eagles had to morph their offense. And then Jalen Hurts just kind of springboarded off of the second half of last year into this year. He's the second, he's got the second best odds to be the MVP in the NFL. So I think you have to give credit to the player, but also credit to the head coach. And oh, by the way, they have the best record in the entire NFL. So my vote today will be for Nick Sirianni.
Nick Sirianni.
Yeah, and that's usually how that works because they were not, you know, people, I liked him to win coach of the year before the season. I thought he was a good wager because of who they, I thought the addition of A.J. Brown, to me, Chris, what we're seeing is the addition of Tyreek Hill, but Jalen Waddle was already there, but the addition of Tyreek Hill, the addition of A.J. Brown, what a major, major difference having a true wide receiver one makes. Now, A.J. Brown, it's not like he's clobbering everybody with stats, but it's just having that guy on your team at any point is just such a major uptick for quarterbacks who are in developmental phases. That's what we're learning.
Yeah, I mean, listen, having a number one receiver makes a difference, and we've seen it time and time again. Think back to the Buffalo Bills when they traded for Stephon Diggs. Before that, a lot of people were on the fence about what Josh Allen would be. They get a number one receiver, and now Josh Allen is one of the top five quarterbacks in the entire NFL. So I think having that number one receiver, a guy that can dictate front and coverage and clear up the picture at the line of scrimmage pre-snap for the quarterback makes all the difference. And we're seeing that with A.J. Brown and his impact in Philadelphia.
Chris Candy with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Worst situation. I heard this yesterday on ESPN. Worst situation at quarterback, Denver or Green Bay? Who you got?
Oh, boy. You know, yes. That would be my answer.
Yes.
They're both bad. They're both bad. But with Denver, it's a tougher situation because there is no alternative to Russell Wilson. At least in Green Bay, there is an alternative to Aaron Rodgers if, in fact, you want to chart a path forward and part company. With Denver, you don't have that. And on top of that, you don't know what you have in your head coach. Or maybe you do know what you have, but it's yeah. not a good answer. And so I think Denver is a much tougher situation. And you saw some of the frustration boiling over from some guys on the defensive side of the ball down in Charlotte last week when they played the Panthers. I just think it's so far short of the expectations that we had for that team coming into this season that it does warrant a lot of concern. And guys, if in fact the Broncos do move on from Nathaniel Hackett at the end of this year, you have to ask yourself, how attractive is this Denver Broncos job knowing that you're going to be saddled with Russell Wilson for the foreseeable future? I know it sounds crazy to think that or to say that, but you look at in contrast to what we're seeing in Seattle with Pete Carroll and what he's doing with Geno Smith, you got to ask yourself, maybe the recent struggles for the Seahawks prior to this year was more on Russell Wilson than the head coach and the general manager.
Yeah, and you know, Aaron Rodgers, you can turn on a game at any point, see a great throw still, see a strong game, see a good... Like Aaron Rodgers, you're trying to figure out what's going on, is how much of that is psychological. Russell looks washed, and I hate to say that because I was a huge Russell Wilson fan. I thought he was a really good football player who was underrated for years. But the fact is, he's inaccurate. He's making poor decisions. He's not seeing the field well. I mean... He was a quarterback who liked plays to come off schedule. It was always blamed on offensive line. Offensive line wasn't great in Seattle. But I think Russell's at his best when plays come off schedule. This is a schedule-based, rhythm-based offense, and Russell looks wildly uncomfortable, does not see reads. It's been pointed out on multiple broadcasts. I don't think it gets better. I think that is a nightmare when you tie in that the draft consideration gone and the salary cap that's going to be eaten up. Denver better be very careful. They just got rid of Bradley Chubb. Like, I'm not saying they're headed to a beat-up roster like the Texans had after Bill O'Brien got done with us, but I'm just saying that is going to do some damage to Denver.
Yeah, I agree with you. And then you think about trying to attract the most qualified candidates when the hiring cycle happens. You know, how attractive is it? You don't have your first-round draft pick. 30s that you don't know if he can play, but yet he's saddled with the organization for the next 5 years.
All right, quickly before you go, we're running out of time here. Are you worried about Josh Allen at all and his miscues in the red zone lately?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, he's on pace for 24 turnovers this season. That's not great, guys.
No.
Not great. He's got 13 so far and 6 of them in the red zone. That's the most important thing when you start talking about playoff-level football, which is what we're going to start going into starting in December. It's all about situational awareness. And Josh Allen has talked about not being great in terms of having situational awareness. And that's not a good place to be as a team when your quarterback is admitting that 3 months into the season. So I think that has to be highly concerning if you're Sean McDermott. The Von Miller injury gives you less margin for error because you don't necessarily have that pass rusher that can close out tight ball games for you. So, yeah, I'm concerned about the Buffalo Bills so much so that if you ask me to put money on a team to win the AFC East, I'm putting my money on the Miami Dolphins. And as you guys know, that's an uncomfortable place for me to be in because yeah. I'm not buying into Tuanon fully. But right now, based on how the two teams are playing, I think the Dolphins to win that division.
That's the most underrated phrase now, Tuanon. It's one of the most underrated phrases in sports right now. I don't think you have to buy into Tuanon. I just think Mike McDaniel, Mike Gesicki, Waddle, Reek, the running game, it's made it really easy for him to operate. It's like, man, this feels like Alabama all over again. This is great.
They're out-talented everybody at every position. It's wild. That is Chris Canty with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Canty and Carlin at Chris Canty 99 on Twitter. Chris, as always, man, we appreciate it. Thanks for hanging with us. Great to talk to you again.
All right, John Lance. Appreciate it. Talk to you again, too.
All right, there he is. Chris Canty with us here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Nice get there, RJ. Nice job. Time to talk right now about Chastain Ford. That's a nice job there. What they're doing is unbelievable. What they're doing is making sure that you get your vehicle under MSRP every time you order it from Chastain Ford. And other places aren't doing that. They're just not doing it. At Chastain Ford, you're going to get the best deal. You're going to get the best service. You're going to get the people who are so attentive. You're going to go back when after you buy it there. Their return business is greater than their everybody goes back, and everybody tells other people about going to Chastain Ford because you are getting the best dealership in the city of Houston. I'm telling, I truly believe this, and I think that you got to do this when you're going to order that Ford car or truck. You got to do it. They also have pre-owned vehicles, and listen, when they're pre-owned vehicles and they're on the lot and they're gold certified, you're going to get unbelievable interest rates, which is difficult right now to get those interest rates, but they're giving you the best interest rates they possibly can. And when you buy new, you're getting all the rebates, and again, you're paying under MSRP every single time when you order from Chastain Ford. If you're looking for the best dealership to get that Ford car or truck, there's one place to go, and that's ChastainFord.com or on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
Hey, guys. So when it comes to tequila, Maestro Dobel is my tequila. I speak for them. I knew a little bit about them. And they said, hey, Lance, we have a new advertiser that wants you to speak for them. And so I said, okay, well, I don't speak for anyone that I don't believe in. That's just the way it is. And I know John's the same way. And so they said, Mallory wants to come in and we're going to do a tasting. I said, okay, let's do that. And I was really blown away. The silver is nice. The silver is going to be kind of your standard tequila. You're going to find it in a lot of margaritas. It also can be used as a sipping tequila. But the Reposado and then the Añejo, I was like, I have never had something this, I don't know how to describe it, like creamy and smooth as a tequila. I know that's not a great description, but I'm just telling you, the flavor profiles on each tequila they make is way different than the next one. And that includes the Cristalino. And they invented that category. Three tequilas that are charcoal filtered, aged, and the end result is staggering. And that's an award winner. The Diamante is what it's called. It's their Cristalino version. So whatever you are looking for, whatever type of tequila, I promise you, you're going to find a sipping tequila or a cocktail tequila that is going to make you extremely happy. You can find them wherever fine tequilas are sold. You can find them in most restaurants. If they don't carry them in your restaurant, make sure you ask for them to start carrying Maestro Dobel.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
No, he will. It's 751 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance here with you at 713-780-3776. Rockets lost last night and didn't look good.
They got blown out right away. It was over.
It was terrible. Jokic, Nikola Jokic said something interesting. He thinks that the offense should run through Şengün.
Well, he would say that. But I'll tell you what, when it has run through him, when they have posted him up, you don't see this a lot.
Now, he does have a lot of turnovers, but...
No, he does. Yeah. He does. And he's still a little careless with the basketball. But the Rockets, from time to time, will post him. He can play in the high post, but they will post him, and he'll get pretty deep into the paint. He is efficient around the basket. Şengün gives the Rockets a chance to play a different type of basketball, which I think we've seen them already play. The ball goes through KPJ, it goes through Jalen.
But it doesn't. It just stops.
Very limited. Yeah, exactly. And it is very, very limited success. Well, they've done it unsuccessfully.
Right.
Well, you know what they have a chance to do? Do something that most people don't see. Show people. So in football, when teams weren't good enough talent-wise to win one way, that's how the spread started. Oklahoma said, we're not talented up front to block and run the ball effectively in like 2000. So they said they brought Josh Heupel was the quarterback. Now the chubby, really good head coach at Tennessee, Josh Heupel was quarterback. They said, Let's do air raids, though. Let's just throw a bunch of sideways passes, slip screens. Let's get the ball out quick. And it revolutionized football. Yeah. Like it was, and it's not like that's where it started. It started before then. But they said, we're not good enough there. You know what high school teams who aren't good enough will do sometimes? Triple option.
Yeah.
They'll do triple option stuff, too. That's what Navy does. That's in basketball. How about since nobody goes through the post, maybe the Rockets should go through the post.
Except Denver.
Yeah, Denver does.
But they've got Jokic. I mean, they've got one of the best players in the NBA.
But here's the thing. Şengün has some of the same passing ability. Yeah. He's got some of the same. This footwork around the basket is really good. He's more skilled at this age than Dream was when he was at U of H. Now, he's not the better player. Dream will, you know, I don't think he'll ever get to Dream status. I think Jokic is not wrong. I think they can post him up.
Well, and, you know, and the most important guy agrees, too. Jalen Green. Here's what he had to say. Alperen looks up to him, and I think that's really good praise. I agree with what he's saying. I feel we will get a lot more open threes running the offense from Alperen. It's a lot of inside-outside game, and I think it opens up the middle of the floor for
him.
It's
true.
It's true. And look at from the high post, what Jokic is doing is unbelievable. He is so – but he's at a different level with the basketball. He really is at a different level. He sees the game so well. There's a reason he's MVP. I mean, he is a really, really good player that's almost – and if Alperen can get anywhere near that – seeing the court, he hasn't really shown that ability so much. Although the other night against Oklahoma City, he had 7 assists. And he had 21 points, 19 rebounds, 3 steals, a pair of blocks, and 7 assists.
Mm-hmm.
Those are numbers now. Those are some big numbers.
Oh, Alperen's been putting up good number, like high efficiency numbers.
Well, he's averaging over 15 a game now.
Mm-hmm.
And he does it in a lot of limited time, too. It's not like he's just really, really been efficient. So maybe there is something to this. There were a lot of complaints last night about KPJ. I mean, it just reminds me of the Steve and Catino days, and I just can't watch that basketball. I just can't. You've got to move the ball. You've got to be a facilitator. If you've got to go through Şengün to get that done, then go through Şengün.
These guys are better than the Steve and Catino combo, but it doesn't look exactly the same, but the feeling you do get is that they're in a little bit of a prison of the system. I actually think there's some better talent around them, like some better individual talent. Kenyon Martin Jr., we just have to say this. Kenyon Martin Jr. is a guy who can play.
Yeah, he can play.
Now, I understand why the Rockets don't want to lose him. They don't want to deal him.
Is he a guy, though, that can play on a championship-caliber team?
I don't know.
That's the question.
This is what I'm going to continue to say this because I really firmly believe this, and I've heard nothing but good things about this guy, and apparently – I think he's maybe a little misunderstood from some of the conversations I've had. But I think KPJ is just not the right fit for this team. I think you need an unselfish point. I think you need Jalen Green and the point guard needs to be able to shoot a little bit because Jalen's going to control the ball at times. Maybe a point guard can control it at times. I think you have a Kenyon Martin Jr. out on the wing. You have Şengün. You have Jabari, and then, you know, you figure out everything else. Bruno Fernando, obviously, can do some things on the interior for you. Garuba's a hustler, so you like some of the things that he'll do for you. But I just think that the numbers look good. Like, he's always filling up stat sheets. Kevin Porter Jr., one of the stats is not wins. That doesn't fill up with him. I just think from a basketball, not even personality standpoint anymore, I just think from a basketball standpoint, if you pull the need for Kevin Porter Jr. to have the ball in his hands, it now increases a little bit. It increases Kenyon Martin Jr. It increases Şengün. It just would be addition by subtraction. And I'm not even talking about the personality. I'm just saying flow of basketball. I think it would make more sense to have the ball go to those guys to distribute his KPJ's touches a little bit. I just think that ultimately for the chemistry on court, it might be better off. I know the Rockets love him. They love his toughness. They think that he makes Jalen Green a tougher guy, you know, and that he's been beneficial to Jalen Green. I know they call each other twin, so they really have an affection for each other. I just feel like it's kind of never going to get the kickoff it needs until there's some alterations made to the starting five.
Yep.
And I don't know that when that's going to happen, when the Rockets going to have the cojones to make a big change like that.
758 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. We got some more quotes from Jeff Bagwell yesterday. He was on MLB Network. We will play some of his thoughts about Jose Abreu. That's next right here. Don't you go anywhere. If you want to talk Astros, you're more than what Brandon wants to get in here and talk Astros. We'll do it on the other side. Right now, let's talk about my bookie. Let's talk about a great deal right now. Now, you know, I've always talking about the deposit that you make, and they're matching the deposit. They've matched 100%. They matched 50%. Right now, they've got a 10% match. But here's the deal on this one. It's an easy cash in and cash out. The other one takes some time for you to build up the equity in order to get your bonus, okay? So you have to make some bets. You make multiple bets, and then you get that bonus, and then you get playability and all of that stuff. This one, make a bet, and you can cash out. It's different. It's better. So you got to deposit at least $500. You can go up to $2,000. And so if you deposit $2,000, you'll have $2,200 to play with. And you can get in, make a bet, win, and get out. That is not happening elsewhere. So if you've got a really good bet that you really like, let's go. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Experience sports in a whole new light and make this a winning season. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.